cut
just
it
need
up.
to go home, but
Oh, I'd love to, because him would love it.
So you knew that was yours, right?
Yeah, I didn't care for that, so
Okay.
I'll just probably eat more salad, that's all.
Would you like me to take anything out of your way there?
Sure.
Whatever you wanna
Thank you.
keep, you can
Yeah, I'll
Or if
just
you want
have
just
this
a
on for now while we're chatting, and then I'll
Okay.
do a more formal intro. So sometimes the camps were segregated, but your coal camps weren't.
No.
People just lived right next door to each other.
Exactly.
She can tell you everybody still to this day,
Yeah, the
all 25 houses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What kids were in there and everything.
Exactly.
Where they were from.
Cause we all played together, you know.
So there were a lot of
Hungarians
yeah,
and
Hungarian I saw in photos.
Some we didn't know their nationality, you know, cause some of the parents didn't talk, their English was real broken, but the kids learned, you know, quick, so.
Right. I saw a lot of Mexican miners in the photos.
Yeah, some of those lived in right in Bertha.
And there was looked like some kind of beer hall for miners that was, I think, must have been Croatian or Serbian, because it was the last name was Itch, like
Oh, really?
Abramovich or something like that.
Was that in Osage or?
Well, it was listed as Scott's Run, so I don't know where exactly it was, but
I can't remember a place like that. I know. I'm not saying it, you know, because there were some places in Osage that we weren't allowed to go, not because of color, but because it was, like my dad called them, speakeasies, where there was a lot of drinking and a lot of cursing, and they played the numbers or whatever. So we weren't allowed to go, and because of that, I don't know if it was because of color or anything, you know. So
Right.
there was places like that in Osage.
But we can get you some guys who can tell you those stories.
Oh,
You
yeah,
can
that'd be
sit at the
great.
boys' table.
Yeah, me
Oh yeah, they can tell you some stories. Oh my God, yeah. Some of the things that went on in the coal mines, some of the things.
However, do you want to tell her about when you would go dancing, how you got there?
How? What? What is it?
In the high heels.
I can't remember. What did I? Oh
Okay, I
God.
didn't want to give it away, but
Yeah, you can tell it.
and
I forgot.
remember that story that we put on the bench?
Oh Jesus, I forgot.
Okay, I'll tell it, but
Yeah,
you
go
gotta say
ahead.
it in your
If I
words.
remember, if it comes back to
Okay,
me while
you
you
told me
talk.
we were talking about how people would jump a train sometimes.
Oh yeah,
Now you
that
got it,
one.
that one.
Oh yeah. Because we lived at Purse Club number 2 at that time. And the train, those great big cars that carried the coal, we would be on our way to Osage, which is about a little mile or a little over a mile to Osage from Purse Club. And so we would go down and see the train going. We just grab hold of this train and get a free ride. We thought it was fun, you know.
In high heels.
Yeah, we'd be
Wow.
all dressed to go to the dance and the club.
You'd hop a train to
Oh,
go
yeah, we'd
dancing.
hop a train and have pocketbook and everything.
How far
I
was the
guess I
ride?
was maybe a teenager, maybe 18 or maybe like in that age.
How far was the ride?
About a mile, almost a mile from Purse Club to Osage.
Which is
And
definitely not enough.
we thought that was good. You know, that was good to us. You don't have to pay I think the bus fare might have been a nickel, but money was, we didn't have money much. You know, we sold pop bottles or something to get money, because that wasn't, in our house, wasn't a thing called money. Because my dad's grocery bill was more than what he earned. So they call it you in the hole. That's what the expression they use. That means your store bill was bigger than your paycheck.
Right, and you were, they were buying from the company
Yeah,
store.
right. You could get everything from the company store. You get yard goods. They would order furniture for you, whatever, through the company store. So my dad didn't have money, so what he would do, every when he got ready to go to Osage, first he'd buy a carton of cigarettes and sell them. and that would be his little bit of money to spend until we got old enough to work. And then we'd give my dad money. Oh, he would be so glad to get a couple of dollars.
So when you sold the pop bottles, you would just give it to your dad?
Well, sometimes we would.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was such a good daddy. And I know he wanted to go to Osage, because he was a wise man. I mean, you'd go to Osage and you'd see all these men standing around, and my dad would be in the middle telling stories. Some was wild stories, but some was just wisdom, you know, that he learned in growing up and all.
That's how he got his nickname.
Yeah, they called him Doc.
Oh, nice.
Called him Doc Boyd.
So he was sort of a philosopher?
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He loved God, loved reading the Bible, and they didn't go to school, so they learned to read our books, and Mom, too.
Mm.
But to hear them talk, they tried to get it right. They did. They got it right.
Mm-hmm.
So they realized that they was not allowed to go to school, because my mom remembers working in a cotton field when she was a kid. So they didn't go to school. And she said they had to cook. Mom and dad worked. Their mom and dad worked in a cotton field, so the kids had to get dinner ready. She said, I remember standing up on a box or something to make dinner for when they came home from out the fields, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she said maybe she went to third grade. I guess. But anyway, they didn't. But they were... What they learned, they did that. What they learned, they walked in that, you know. They loved everybody. Honest, because I was telling her how my mom used to go to Osage, and of course, there was the money, but there was Max Levine, the clothing store, the grocery store, and all that. And so they would just, they called her by her name, and she would go through Osage. You could feel like a hush. Everybody was, there would be winos, the guys drinking wine, they'd be on the street. They would see her coming, Miss Boyd, that's what they call her last name. They'd say, oh, here she comes. And they would take their hats off and bow to her. And
wow.
They did. They loved her. And she loved them, yeah, she loved them too. And so she'd go in the store and they would say, give Miss Boyd what she wants. She'll pay when she get the money. That was it. She could go get anything that she wanted. And so, and when she got money, she did pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how we was raised. So yeah, she was honored. So was Daddy. Daddy was a man of wisdom. So we had a good training. They taught us right.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have been different because of how some things, we were still called the N-word and stuff like that, but you know. But my mom used to tell, well, you're not that. Well, why would you get mad? Somebody call you that? Well, you're not that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we grew. How I grew up. So I don't care what you call me. I'm not none of those. I know who I am. Happen to know who I am. So that was how they taught us. And so Daddy too. And he told us he worked with KKK men and how they would steal these coal, they had a little check, like something like this, and they would have a little hole in it. And when they loaded the car, they would put that, there was a little nail on there, and they would put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
And his, whatever his number was, when they brought the coal to the thing, they put that down, Doc Boyd, they didn't call him Doc, they called him Luther, they put that down for, but somebody would steal his. This man, he was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would steal that from him, you know. So he talked about it. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't mad. He wasn't cursing like some people. So he just took it all as this is how it is. And so when we grew up, and some of the kids, they played with us when we was kids, and then when they got older, you know, they wouldn't play with us. There was one girl, me and her was really close. Her name was Sarah, and we called her Tootsie. That's her mother's. Gave her that nickname. And so me and her used to play together. We played house and what kids do.
Right.
And then when she got to be a teenager, she said, well, I can't play with you no more. And I thought, why? She said, well, my mom said it. So then I went and told my mother, and she said, that's how it is. So she said, that's just how it is. So
why did it change when you became teenagers?
I really don't know why they did, but they did.
Right.
They did. So, yeah. But that's was really hurting. Then you think, well, something wrong with me, maybe, you know.
Was that kind of a rare experience, or was it?
Everybody didn't do that. Just some people did.
Some did.
Everybody didn't do that because we had other neighbors. Was totally different, you know. So, but this family, that happened to be the one who, and maybe we got to be too close. I don't know, because I don't know what. I couldn't imagine, but she said, her mother said she couldn't play with me no more, and I thought, why? So then first thing, well, something's wrong with me. But then you realize, no, that's, and my mother explained to her, she said, that's just how it is. So. Mm-hmm. And then she had a brother. I really think of this. She had a brother, and his name was Marcus. And I kind of think, because we played together, we had lots of fun, I kind of think she was scared that Marcus and I would get kind of, you know, I kind of think that was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we played together and had lots of fun together. We'd play store, and he'd be the doctor, and we'd get the little patient to be sick and all that. So crazy stuff, but it was fun.
Right.
It was clean fun, you know. Mm-hmm. We didn't think about cushion or sickness or what. And we had the grocery store, then we'd get all the cans, empty cans. We'd go get, pick them up, put them on the shelves. And so when you come to our store, you could buy green beans or whatever. We'd give them the dirty can. Oh, my goodness. It was good fun. Mm-hmm. Good, clean fun. So, yeah.
And with that family, were they from West Virginia?
Yeah, they was from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Was that most, when, with the KKK members, were there any foreign born?
Well, they were, I don't know. I guess they was, because they spoke good, you know, because mm-hmm. they was like two houses from us. And like we'd be playing and, she would, you little nasty, you know, that's what she'd mm-hmm. do that one. But we just ignored that,
yeah.
You know, but she was like that. Yeah.
Something I remember you telling me about the people that lived on that row, you said some of the bachelor miners, like you kids would like cook for them and clean house for them.
That was like a job, you know, just, yeah, they would, bachelor men, you know, so we would clean our houses and scrub for them, and then when payday come, you know, they would give us a little bit of money.
Oh, wow.
I did that for three or four men, bachelor men, yeah, that's had a little job after school. Yep, sure did.
Did they have their own houses, or did
they
live together?
Their own houses, yeah, they all had their own houses, but they didn't, they were just single men, you know, so.
They just didn't know how to clean.
Yeah. They didn't know how to clean, yeah. And I guess when you worked in a coal mine, you don't want to come home
or
and
they
clean.
Had an appointment at the beer garden, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll have you introduce yourself and tell me when you were born, when and where you were born, and who you are.
Okay. My name is Sarah Boyd Little. I was born in the year 1924, April the 20th. And I was born in a little town outside of Fairmont. And of course, later years, because of work, my dad moved to Osage, and then later we moved to Purse Club.
Do you want to introduce yourself, too?
I'm Eve Falks, and I teach graphic design at WVU, where, because of a project, I met Miss Sarah about 5 years ago. And then we fell in love, and here we are.
We've been in love ever since, right?
Yeah.
You want to get that book and stuff in there on the chair for her so I can show her some of the pictures and of course, when I went to high school, and I went to all black school. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started singing in the a cappella choir. And then we went on tour. That's how I got a chance to sing in the White House, where Roosevelt was our president at that time.
Mm-hmm. And what year was that, do you know?
In the 40s, because when did war break out? It's 40-something, but this was before the war.
How close was it to when the mine exploded? Because that was 42, so was this earlier than that?
I think it was.
Maybe 1940 or something?
It may have been. So I'm not good at dates, but mm-hmm. anyway, that's what we did. We went to places, and of course, my sister and I, my other two sisters, Ida and Catherine, who we call Kitty, and there was a little program at one of the theaters in Osage where a talent show, and so we, like I said, we always sang. That's all we ever did was sing. That was our entertainment. Mm-hmm. So the three of us, we formed a trio, and we used to go places and sing. This is the three of the Boyds, they call us. Mm-hmm. So this particular night that they had this talent show, and of course they said if you win, you get a spot on the radio. And so of course we won, and we got to sing I can't remember the Morgantown. I can't remember the figures. That's, mm-hmm. But anyway, we won, and so we got a chance to sing on the radio, and because we did real good, we could harmonize together. And so, like every Sunday afternoon around 4:45, maybe just a 15-minute show, we would sing. And so one time we got in an argument about the song we were supposed to sing. And so we didn't know. I guess we forgot we was on the radio. We start arguing on the radio. And my mom said, "That's it. You're not going."
So it was a regular gig. It wasn't just one time.
Yeah, it was. You had every Sunday afternoon. I believe it was 4:45. So, but you had 15 minutes to sing. And of course, we arguing on it. She said, "Well, you're not going back. That's all of that right there."
What would you sing? Were you lead singer?
I'm second soprano. And of course, one sing, Ida sang alto, and Kitty sang a lead, what you call a lead. But we sing a cappella. We didn't have no piano, nothing, but we sing and harmonize together. That was, I loved it. Yeah, so then that was over. We didn't get to have a chance to sing no more. I mean, not publicly like that, so, but we always did sing. And of course, we had church choirs and church groups and stuff like that. And we would sing for the coal miners would have their meetings. And we would always sing, you know, we would sing for them. And it's all in history of West Virginia. You read all that about Sarah Boyd, Ida Boyd, and Willa Boyd, all of us were singing, you know. They called us the Stepping Stones then.
I didn't know you had
it. It's in that West Virginia book. And so we just sang.
Were you teenagers then?
Yeah, we were. We were teenagers then, yeah. So that was our recreation. I guess you call it recreation because after supper was over, we'd start singing. Somebody would start a song, and Mom and Dad would pick it up, and before you know it, we was all singing, and coal miners would be on their way to work, and they'd be out there under the window, listen, the boys singing, they singing this.
was that even before Eugene Wayman Jones had you in high school?
Mm-hmm. That was before him.
Because he was an amazing character.
Oh, my.
I mean, he's the one that organized that whole trip to... Okay.
He sure did, yeah.
Okay.
I used to have a picture of him. Probably got a picture somewhere.
I've got one.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he's the one who organized the choir and organized these our trips to, you know, different places.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell me more about those trips? Because we didn't record it earlier.
You mean that, like...
That tour when you went to the White House and you sang for soldiers.
Oh, yeah. I went to so many places. I may have it on one of the articles here. The first place we went to Washington, D.C., sing for the president. And then later, I think the next place was the Army place in Baltimore, which was a Navy, deep, I don't know if you call it, a Navy base.
Mm-hmm.
Then we sang there. And from there, we went to New Jersey, and we went to New York. And so once when we was in New York City, it was, I guess about 28, 29 of us, and then our principal and his wife, they went as like to see about keep us in order, whatever. And so we was all getting on the subway, and everybody was looking. You know, they didn't know who we were.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Oh, they're refugees. They just come here from whoa. They refugees, kids." Because we got called all kind of names, but it was okay. So yeah, we enjoy. And of course, all the churches right here in Morgantown had us singing a cappella. That's a little bit of the articles that...
There's some articles of paper coming mm-hmm. in.
Oh, nice.
How they covered us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you were in high school. That was through the Montegoia
High
School.
Yeah, Montegoia High. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was all black school.
Can you talk about the White House visit?
Beautiful. I just know beautiful because we lived in coal miner's house, so a lot of things that we had never seen, you know, like the beautiful cabinets, all the gold tapestry and all that. We just, just looking all around, you know. Of course, they was at the at a dining room table. They was in a dining room, of course, there was lots of guests there. I can't remember all, but I do remember Melvin Douglas was one of the guests there. And of course, President Roosevelt, I think he sat in a wheelchair. I think he was. He's sitting in a wheelchair. He was right there as we came in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was a piano there, and our music teacher, that's where he sat. And then he did request, President Roosevelt requested one number that we sing. That was the Negro National Anthem.
The last one, Blues in the Night, he joined in singing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sing all kinds. Well,
did he have a good voice?
I don't remember. I don't remember if he did or not. I was just trying. We was just excited. You know, a bunch of kids just excited about being there. Right. So it was great. It was so good.
So you sang the National Anthem. Then was that what he requested?
Yeah, he requested Negro National Anthem.
Lift every voice and sing.
And so that's one thing we had never practiced at. Mm. So when he asked that, our teacher said, Mr. Jones, we call him Mr. Jones, he said, oh, I think we could do that. So we stumbled through it some way. We knew it, but we had never rehearsed that because we didn't think we was going to be asked to sing that. So we got it done. We got it done some kind of way. But it was just so good, so good, so good, so excited.
And did you continue in groups after high school?
Well, I always did sing. That's all I was always done. So with a cappella, then I got it. Well, we always just sing, like I said, with church choirs and church groups. So I was always part of that. And so
soon after that, because of the war, you went to the Pentagon and worked.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did work in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm.
What were you doing there?
Secretary, we worked in the transportation division, and when you first go there, first thing you got to learn is how all the officials of the Army, you got to know who they are. You can't call Major Captain or the Captain, so that's the first thing you do. You're in training for a few days, and then you learn their insignia, that little thing that they wear on the collar, so you have to learn that so you won't call them out of their name. So we had to learn that first of all. And that was kind of difficult because we wasn't used to that. So, but you had to learn that. So, yeah. And that's where.
Did you meet General MacArthur?
Yeah, and Eisenhower also. And Admiral Nimitz, he was the Admiral of the Navy. And, of course, we got to see all those. Well, then, you know, it didn't matter. That wasn't a big deal. Wasn't a big deal then. That was just all in it. But we got a chance to see them and meet all the majors and the captains. Matter of fact, I was next. My desk was next to a colonel. And I would answer the phone for him. It wasn't my position, but he'd be away from his desk all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I would, you know, take his phone calls for him and do that, you know. We worked in transportation where we was responsible for all the shipments, food overseas, whatever the soldiers need, we was responsible for that. So I learned to type about 70-some, of course it was old-fashioned typewriter that we used. I could type 70-some words a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
More than 30. Yeah,
I think that's about right. But you learn, you know, you do it and you learn. So, and I used to have lots of pictures. You know, down through the years, you lose all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many years were you there?
Let me see, 2, 3. I can't remember. That's where I met my husband in Washington, D.C. And I just thought that was a foolish thing, but anyway, whatever. So
what was a foolish thing?
Well, you know, I shouldn't have married him, but I did. So we got to see a lot of entertainers, because a lot of entertainers came there. Mm-hmm. Howard Theater was there, that's where they a lot of entertainers. What was that women's group that used to sing? We got a chance to meet them and I can't remember all the names, all the bands and everything was there, you know. So we got a chance to meet all those guys. And I used to have pictures of all those too, but.
Where did you live?
In D.C.?
We lived in, they had dormitories.
Okay.
Doms for the girls. And so sisters got a chance to, everybody had this single room, but sisters had, they had a special place for sisters. Hmm. So me and my sister, we got a chance to, you know, have the same room. They had twin beds and everything, so. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had the meals. And they would go to work, and then we'd come back there. They had meals. And, of course, they had entertainment. They had movies and, you know, dances and stuff for the workers. Mm-hmm.
Was this part of a New Deal program to bring
people from West Virginia for jobs?
Well, they had people from everywhere to work at the Pentagon because, and I got a chance to meet people from all over, you know, from Atlanta, from New York City, and all those, you know, whoever worked in transportation department, you get to meet them. So you get a chance to meet a variety of people.
Did you go up together, or was your sister already there?
No, we went together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember how you discovered that was an opening? Was it in the paper as an ad or anything?
I don't even know how we got to be there. I just know next thing we know, we's on the bus to, you know, going there. So. Oh, my. Yeah.
So at that point, after 2 or 3 years there, you moved back to West Virginia?
Yeah, well, I moved to about 3 years. I can't remember how many years we worked there, but till the war was over, I guess, mm-hmm. And I remember that, too. I can't go into details, but remember when it was victory. And so we knew we wouldn't be working. So we worked a little while after then, but then... my sister went on to college. She went to Howard University. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I helped her go to college. And then that's where I met my husband. So then I moved to Philadelphia. Yes, I got to Philadelphia. That's where he lived.
Mm-hmm. She was in Philadelphia, too, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she met her husband. So I can't remember how she got there, but she did. I guess, anyway, like I said, that's a long time ago.
And Eugene Wayman Jones ended up in Philadelphia,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was in Philadelphia. Yeah, he sure was. He was pastor of one of the big churches. Of course, he had a choir there.
He was a pastor?
Not pastor.
Oh, choir director?
He was a choir director of one of the churches there, you know. So I saw him once, I think, while I was there, and I got a chance to meet a lot of people. But like you said, it don't mean much. But now you think about it, you know that,
right.
That it was really important. So.
Should we take a look at some photos?
Yeah, okay. Right.
I know that you have a meeting at 2, so I'll
You have a meeting at 2?
I have a meeting at 2. I mean, I could miss it.
You should. Well, I actually...
What time is it now?
...scheduled a meeting at 2:15, so...
Oh, you did? Okay.
Let me just check
It's not quite 1.
2:30 is when I need to be.
Okay.
But I don't want you to miss your meeting, so it's up to you. I can always... come back and come to the museum and
do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be good. You go to the museum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there'd be a lot of props there.
Yeah.
And you might meet your next interviewee.
Yeah. Would there be a quiet place we could talk?
It's relatively quiet. There are coal trucks that go on the road outside.
Right. Oh, yeah,
so depending on, I can't remember how disturbing they are. It probably. I mean, there's a hallway. Before you get to the room, so it's mm-hmm. it's set back
off.
We
probably could sit back out there in the opening, you think, or maybe like in the kitchen area that she has a table and chairs back where she keeps the refrigerator and stuff. You think?
Are you talking about Mary Jane's house?
Yeah, is that what we're talking about?
Oh,
I'm talking about the museum.
Yeah. You mean
or
that
we could go back?
Space.
Yeah. Or back on the little place where she has a lot of stuff on display, that the couch and stuff back there.
Yeah, that.
That's kind of quiet.
We could just. See which is the quietest area.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Do something there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we still have some time before you have to leave probably, so we'll talk as much as we can.
Yeah, but I was just
going
to show you,
yeah.
Will you put this away, Eva? Mm-hmm. I'll show her mom and dad, most of the family are all here. Not too many of them are here, or was here when we had those, but this is, this was Scott's Run.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see a MacBook like this? You ever see a book
I've
like
never
this?
Seen this book. I have looked on the Library of Congress website to see the WPA
photos. Let me see now. I think we're at 136 now. Let me see. I don't have my glasses on, so you tell me if I can get to 136.
Here, let's. You gotta go this way.
I think it's 136. No, that's not it. Must be.
One.
Maybe it's the next one. Yeah, here
there
it is.
Okay.
Daddy, Mom,
aww.
Luther. This is the one we told you died when she's 29 years old.
Uh-huh.
This is Molly.
So
this
Willia, and you called her Bill.
We called her Bill. Mm-hmm. I had a Kitty, and Brother John. So the older brother, the other older brother was married in a way. The older sister was in New York going to school. And we don't have much pictures of her. So, and then there was two dead.
Mm.
And so this is us. Yeah, so it was me, her, and her. We were the singers.
Ida, Catherine, and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
But yeah. Everybody sang, right?
Yeah, everybody sang, yeah. And he tried to, he had a real deep voice like Daddy. Daddy had a real deep voice, and Mom had a real high, soft voice. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was in the service. Let me see, he died young, too. I think he had throat cancer. Most of them died young. They sure did. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so which sister is in the photo?
Let's see, I could pull it
up. Which one you got? Probably got
I know Mark sent it to me.
So you would have been, I think these photographers were through in 35?
And 38.
38? So you would have been 12?
Maybe.
So oh, here we go.
24, so...
But 24, okay. Mm-hmm. So you'd have been 14.
Oh, yeah, that's my sister. Now, that's the one had the little baby. That's the one, Willa, that we call Bill.
Okay.
And that's her mother-in-law there.
Okay.
And they'd be in Osage selling cake or whatever, mm-hmm. money for the church. Yeah, that's our sister.
Mm-hmm. I see. That the one standing?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And that's her that's her mother-in-law, the lady that's sitting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one who...
was having a party for her husband, and he was killed that day. Mm-hmm.
So and she would have been Gibson?
Yeah, she was Gibson. Mm-hmm. She just pined her life away, so...
Mm. It's a beautiful photo.
She was a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, that's her.
So do you remember those photographers being around?
No, I don't even remember. This is the choir. And I thought I had a bigger picture, but I don't. This is probably due somewhere. I don't know. This is work. And then when I came back here and I went to work, I had to work at Scotchman Settlement House. And I organized a pantry, a food pantry. And so that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did the shopping and ordering the food. And this was, you can see this at Lean Months at Scotchman. This was... in the newspaper. I was always in the papers for some reason or other. Yeah. And this was at work. I worked there 39, 30, really 40 some years I worked there.
At the settlement school.
Yeah, settlement house. Mm-hmm, yeah, sure did. That was me at my desk. And so, oh, this
she
is.
Retired at 88.
I did. Mm-hmm. And this right here, listen, we had a. We had a bridge in Osage, and it had big holes in it, and nothing was being done about it, okay. So I got out on the bridge one day, and I said, I just put my hand in the honk, we need a new bridge, we need them. Well, honey, this was me on the bridge, and this is a car stopping. Don't you know they came out and fix that bridge the next day? they sure did. Bridge draws protest, see. And this is where I work, and this is old family. We was at a park one day. Mm-hmm. Oh my. And this is I was in the newspaper right here. And this is in our pantry, as you can see. Yeah, I don't know what's under here. And this was my 85th birthday party.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
So what kind of dance are you doing there?
Jitterbug. Right here. Oh my God! And this is our piano player at church, so he was on the floor dancing with me too. Yep.
She was saying her hair turned white. What, in her 30s?
Yeah, started when I was 17.
Oh, really?
This is another choir. Yeah, yes.
Was that common in your family?
Yeah, it was. Of course, this is bald hair that I got now. And this is my husband right here. That's it.
Mm.
Yeah, this is my granddaughter's graduation right there. So
I love your dresses.
Yeah. So these are some things I thought you may want to see, yeah. This is a choir, these are choir members when I went to Philadelphia and I joined the church. We had a choir there too, of course, I sang.
How long were you in Philly?
A good little while. And after my marriage didn't work, I moved back home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So this is Martin Luther King. We always sang at Martin Luther King every year. This is the first year I don't think I didn't sing, but this was Martin Luther King. And this, of course, at the pantry where I work was telling them, showing that we didn't have food, we needed food. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it. Let me see, what is this here? Oh, that's funny. Oh, this is just another picture of the choir. Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Flying Colors, and it's Al and Friends?
Okay, Alan, how we come together, we used to, because we knew the same people, you know, because Al grew up in Scott's Run too, mm-hmm. so we knew the same people. And every time somebody would pass away, there wouldn't be anybody to sing, do the, you know, musical part of the program. So that's, Kitty would be there, and Patty was there, and Al was there, and Christine was there. So we were, first of all, we just volunteered, you know, to sing at these, and that's how, so every time there was a funeral, they would just contact us. Mm. And so that's when we got the name. So Christine, who was our trombone player, she's in California now, and she gave us the name of the Flying Colors. So that's how, and then it just went over big. Every church wanted us. So, I mean, one while we was going, oh, about every place was, oh, get the Flying Colors. I said, well, we flying around, I guess.
So we're doing a funeral circuit?
Yeah, that's how it really started. And then we just did it for, like, churches would want us to come and sing. And so we just have a program, you know, maybe somebody read some scriptures or tell a story or whatever. And then for Christine was always tell how we got the name, the Flying Colors. So, and then we started making CDs. And so that's how, so. And then after Christine moved away, Sister Kitty passed away, so there was just myself and Patty and Albert. And so then when he met these other people, well, Al knows everybody. Mm-hmm. And so they were singers, so we just joined together. So we call ourselves now Al and Friends.
Okay.
Yeah, we call ourselves Al and Friends. So
yeah. You don't really have the Flying Colors anymore?
No, not, mm-hmm.
Joined up just to keep it going.
Right, because one time it was kind of looked like we was going to fade out, didn't it? Mm-hmm.
Now some of the other people from that smaller church are a different mix in mm-hmm. there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what was the instrumentation in the Flying Colors?
Well, we just, Christine had a trombone, and Kitty or Patty, both of them played the piano, and that was about it. Sometime when some of Patty's kids, maybe the boys played drum, but not all the time. Mm-hmm. But sometime we'd be on, go to a different place to sing, and they would accompany us or so. But just a piano and sometime a trombone, so.
Do you remember other music happening in Scott's Run from other cultures?
Not really, I don't think. Mm-mm.
I remember in the museum them talking about a couple that had concertinas, and they would play on the big curve. Did you
really?
Ever hear them?
No.
Maybe that was a different era.
That's cool.
Maybe,
and then
so.
Didn't you say that somebody would play a banjo on, like,
well, Brother
front
John,
porches?
Brother John played a banjo, but I can't.
That's your brother who used
yeah.
to have the deep voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something else having to do with music, you were telling me stories about how people would brew their own beer and bottle it, and they also had jukeboxes and would
oh, yeah, they had jukeboxes
have
in their homes, you know. So wow. We, on Saturday night sometime, we'd go from house to house. They were we call them Nickelodeons, because uh-huh. you put a nickel in and you play a song. And they would have their own homebrew. My dad made it too, their own beer, mm-hmm. you know. And we go dance with the music, and then they would come to our house to hear us sing. We was just kids mm-hmm. then, mm-hmm. but they would and they would give us a nickel or two pennies or whatever for us to sing, you know. Oh my God! Oh my Lord! It's something.
So mostly house parties.
Yeah. Right. Because, yeah, so they would have house parties. They were so much fun. My God, we could sit up here all night long. And then we had friends that we go, And of course, nobody locked the door. And if we would be out late or something, we'd just go to their house, you know, and my sister's house or wherever the door is open. We just go in there, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. We just go in and get on the couch or go to sleep or whatever. Nobody locked the doors, and that's what we did. So they come downstairs, they, oh, what you doing? We'd be on the couch, sleep or make coffee or whatever, you know. And then my neighbor, we'd do like that. If I needed coffee or coffee cream, I'd just go in her house and get it. And she did the same. That's how we lived, you know. We didn't have a lock on the door. Now, we could lock in when you got in, but if you couldn't lock it when you're going out, so the door just opened.
There was a story at the boys' table over at the museum. I heard somebody say, nobody locked our doors. Of course, we didn't have anything worth stealing, so it didn't matter.
But you just didn't. You didn't lock your doors. You really didn't have to. So
yeah,
it was so different than today. It was just so different. So. And it's so much love, you know, it really was. Mm-hmm. And when something happened to a family, everybody would just pitch in. They would just come and cook the meals, or, you know, they'd bring a pot of this, a pot of that, a pot of that, or make two cakes and the pies and bring it. And they would bathe the kids, because I remember when Bill, we called her, when her husband first, when he got killed, they would take the girls and shower them and, you know, do the hair for them. She didn't have to do it. This family would do the meal. We're going to do supper for her. And somebody else said, we're going to do breakfast. Mm-hmm. That was just the way it was. So,
And sometimes they would take in kids.
They would. They would
Didn't
take the kids.
Didn't matter what race they were.
That's right. They would take and keep them through the whole time, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And it was so
Your
good.
Your family would take in
kids? Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, my mom, we always had a house full, because there was the baby brother. Brother John, he had his friends. And Ida, she was like sophisticated, like, and she had her friends. And so it was always a bunch in the house, you know. And so a lot of times it would just be a little bit in the pot, but it was always enough. And I'd say, Mom, somebody come, we ain't got enough. She, oh, it'll be okay. And sure enough, I don't know what happened to that pot, but there'd be enough for everybody.
Did you all have a big crock of sauerkraut? Was
no,
that in your
we,
house?
Uh-uh.
Some of the other people that said that was a tradition. That might have been more Hungarian thing.
It might have been, yeah, because no, we didn't have that. If I tell you, we had a cellar. It wasn't a basement. We just had plain cellar. Mm-hmm. It was dirt. You know, dirt floor and everything, but that's where we kept pumpkins and sweet potatoes that we gardened, you know, and that's where we kept that in the cellar. So you went down the cellar, get potatoes or whatever you had from the garden. You went and sell during the winter months.
Right.
You kept it in the cellar. Yep.
And all of this, the community, when people were having a hard time, that was across race.
It was.
And culture.
It really was. It really was. We didn't know nothing about the blacks or whites. It was just everybody pitched in, you know, and so it didn't matter. I remember the lady I was the first black woman she had seen. And she lived in a way out in a little we call it boonies, you know, that's what we call it. A plum Nelly. That means plum Nelly out of civilization.
Oh.
If we ever use that word, we say she's out in plum Nelly. That means she's plum Nelly out of civilization. So we saw people that, you know, that they had never come from out there. The husband worked and he did, you know, grocery shopping and everything. And so this lady that when they moved on the row where we lived, and she said I was the first black lady that she had ever seen. And so we got to be very, very close. Mm-hmm. We'd go to her house and eat, and I'd stay at her house all night and sleep with her kids. And it was just like, you know, meeting another sister.
And was she native born?
Yeah, she was from West Virginia. Her name is Louise. I'd never forget her. Yeah, she was a sweetheart. And so, like I said, most of the time we didn't have no issues with black and white. There was always a few. You know, you always have that somebody that's whatever. Like this one family, they was KKK, and we knew that. But the white people didn't like them either, because they saw how they treated us, so they didn't like them either for, you know, how they behaved. So they wasn't liked by the blacks or the whites. So,
right.
Didn't work out for them.
It didn't work out for them anyway, yeah. So it was so good. I just look back on my life, and I'm so glad that I was raised to love everybody and not, you know, dislike anybody, because like my mom said, God made us all, so he don't have preference. People make preference, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. So and I think I've lived that way. I think I live like that too. So yep.
Well, I guess I was gonna say that's a great ending, but we could probably go a little bit more. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
When do you need to leave?
First, you got to take me home.
Exactly.
So oh, okay.
I would say 1:30.
Okay. Okay. Why don't?
I'm trying to think of what's...
Do you need water or anything? You've been talking.
No, this would be to do.
So I heard that you remember Katherine Johnson, but what was her name? Her maiden name?
Katherine Coleman Johnson.
Katherine
right.
Coleman.
Uh-huh. We knew her as Miss Coleman, and so I can't remember what year she came to Monongalia High, but I remember she was a very tall, stately woman. Oh, she was just beautiful. She's real fair complexion, had light, light hair. But she was very, elegant in her speech, and it's just like she did everything right. You know, we just marveled at her. She wasn't there very long. I can't remember how long she was there. But she taught math, and she may have taught geometry, and so I don't, because I wasn't good at none of those subjects with arithmetic, so. But she was very stately, and I remember she had a, I don't know what kind of voice she had, but it was different from everybody else's. And I've seen her on TV a couple of times mm-hmm. since because of they're talking about her because of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her a couple of times, and so, of course, she's older. But I could recognize that this was her, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she got a Congressional Medal of Honor. I think Obama gave her a...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Oh, my, bless her heart. She was something else. Yeah, we had lots of things at Monongalia High. I remember, of course, Miss Roosevelt was there, too, once.
Yeah, I was wondering if you...
Mm-hmm.
What your memories were of her.
She was, I guess you call her like a stately woman, because we look at her, she wasn't pretty, you know, we look at that,
mm-hmm.
but she was very elegant in her speech. And so she did go into coal mines, I think she did go into coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was like the men that worked in coal mines, they didn't like that, it was like a omen or something. They said, mm-hmm. oh, it's going to be a, you know, of course. She and there was other women that did that went to coal mines too, but she did.
Was it which? Do you remember which mine it was?
It was Purse Club Number 2.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's one of the ones here.
Yeah, that's the one where my dad worked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Purse Club Number 2. Yeah. So, but that was it was wonderful that she came. So, because like you said, when you encounter that when you're a kid, it don't mean much. And then mm-hmm. later on in life, you know, it means, but she's, oh, Miss Rosa was here. Or shake the hands and hand it, so whatever. Just, you know, like you.
right. Was she there when you sang at the White House?
No, she wasn't there.
Okay.
She was, I guess, on her missions or something. But I can't remember. There was just a table full of people, but I do remember Melvin Douglas, because I remember seeing him in the movie, so that's how I recognized him. But there were a lot of people there, and he, of course, he was in a wheelchair. And I mean, you just felt so relaxed. You just, oh, this is the president, you know. But we just felt so relaxed, and we sang beautiful three or four selections, and they clapped and said we were good. I know we were, because we all had good voices, and of course Eugene Wayman Jones, he taught us real good, so we really could sing. I'm sorry now that he didn't make tapes of our
right.
of the songs that we sang, because it could have went real big now, because we sang harmony. He had a first soprano, second soprano, the altos, and the tenors, and the bass, and
wow.
so everybody had their part. You know, I was second soprano, and so when we learned a song, he would teach every harmonizing part. He would teach all sopranos their part. Then he'd teach second sopranos their part. Then he would teach the altos their part. And then the tenors and the bass. And then when he'd get it together, then he'd say, okay, everybody sing. Oh, it was beautiful.
Mm.
It really was. Mm, mm, mm. Yeah, that's why the churches, everybody wanted us to come and sing. And we did. We went to all the churches in Morgantown. And the people from the churches would pick us up, because there were so many of us, because we live in different places,
mm-hmm.
Everettsville, Cassville, you know. And so we had people from those to make sure we got home safe.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know if there are any recordings of you singing when you were younger with your sisters? Or
I don't think so.
Yeah,
we didn't I wish now, think about that, I wish you had, you know, kept some of those recordings, but we didn't, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's all history now, so. And of course, I like a lot of times I think about things I want to, oh, do you remember so-and-so? Well, I don't have nobody I can go to, mm-hmm. to, you know, talk about that, so. I think about that now, because most all the kids that we grew up with, they all pass on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the cool things about the museum, is because there's at least three people that come regularly that are 90 plus. Mm. And
Lou Baracus is one. I don't know about those other two guys.
Well, John Probst.
And is he? Yeah. The skinny man.
Yep. Yep. He had his 90th birthday right before we did the June 1 performance.
Really? I didn't know mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And he talks about music in his life. Mm. And remember when we were trying to identify Jack Jones, the guy that the first man pulled out of the
explosion? Mm-hmm.
And he said that Jack Jones taught him to play. Jack Jones was black, John mm. Probst was white. But when mm-hmm. he was a kid, Jack Jones taught him how to play piano.
Oh, that's right.
Taught him Hoagy Carmichael songs that he said he can still play to this day.
Whoa. Is that right?
Yeah. And
Hoagy Carmichael, I remember him.
So similar music was shared, you mm-hmm. know, among the
right.
different cultures too.
It was really like a family. I tell you what, everybody got along real well there. We didn't have somebody from the outside maybe would come in and try to start something, you know. They always give Osage a bad name, but it wasn't like people said. They're killing down there. They're fighting and cutting. It was just the opposite. Mm-hmm. So they always give Osage a bad name, but I know better because I said some of the best people I know came from Osage, and it was like that. Mm-hmm. So somebody always got, you know, try to come in and start trouble. Well, there was, I don't know. So all I know, there was 15th and the 30th was payday for all the miners. And so Osage would be packed those days because everybody came to Osage. There was all the grocery stores, mm-hmm. there was the market, there was the dentist, there was the cleaners and the movie theater. Everything was there right in Osage. So Osage was like the hub, sort of. And everybody came to Osage. And so you got to see everybody on payday because mm-hmm. the moms would come too. And so it was just wonderful. And we'd come, oh, Mom, I guess who I saw? I saw Miss So-and-so. And so it was good. You see the kids, too, because we could only go there like, well, we couldn't hang out there because it was a lot of drinking and mm-hmm. stuff. So our dad tried to keep us from that. So I was telling Eve one day, so somebody would, we'd slip to Osage. Mom didn't know where we were, so somebody would tell, oh, I saw Sarah in Osage. Oh, she's Sarah. Were you in Osage? No, I didn't go to Osage. Well, Miss Williams, she just lied, didn't she? So you just better shut up. You better not say no more.
So you'd cover for yourself. Yeah.
And we was, sure enough, we would slip and go down there, you know, because right. that's where all the noise and all the so yeah. exciting yeah. to us, you know, the music was going, they had the machines going, you know, and my daddy, sometime my dad would be down there. He said, your mom knows you here? And we said, no. Well, you know what you better do. He gives a 5-cent ice cream cone. Well, you get a whole bunch, you know, price. So we better make it back home then. And then she would say the same thing. We wanted to go somewhere. She said, you ask your dad. And we'd ask daddy, can we go to Osage? What did your mama say? It was just back and forth. We didn't like that at all, you know. Yeah. Oh, my. But it was good. It was really good. Good life. Mom and Dad loves us kids so much.
I don't think you've talked about the gardening that was your duty.
God. We had gardens because they used to lease where we lived. There was a lot of property, but then there was a community, like a community garden. They would lease so much, and my dad would always like lease an acre. Mm-hmm. And so they would plow it up for you, but you had to plant it. So we worked in a garden, I tell you what. And we had the most beautiful, beautiful tomatoes, potatoes, corn. And so when harvest time come like this in the later part of the summer, Sunday we'd go to garden. And you'd go to garden and get corn on the cob, get string beans. And then mom, daddy would say, get Miss Miller. Miss Miller, get her a head of cabbage or whatever. So you learn to share, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we did. Of course, there was canning. I learned how to can. And so most people don't know what canning is today, but we learned how to can. And we had to go to the garden. And of course, we all had our little spots. And I had my little place because I liked cucumbers and tomatoes. So he would say, Daddy said, this is your spot. You can cook with, plant what you want here. And so I would have a lot of cucumbers and a lot of tomatoes, and somebody else, maybe John, would like string beans. It was all in the garden, but he allowed us to do that, so we'd have to take care of our part. But we had to work in the garden quite a bit and take the weeds out and take the worms off the beans or whatever. So, yeah. But when harvest time come, it was so good. Potatoes, and we had to dig for potatoes, with sweet potatoes. And then at the end of the harvest season, they have what they call a fair. And everybody would bring their products, and so whoever got the biggest or the most biggest potatoes or biggest head of cabbage or biggest whatever, they would get a prize. So my dad, that was the year we got the prize for the biggest pumpkin. And we had great big pumpkins. Yeah, big ones like this. Because my dad, they knew how to work in the garden. You know, they loved, my mom too, they loved working in the garden. So that's where they spent a lot of their time. And I remember something my dad used to do. He would take a pumpkin and cut it open. Of course, you take all the seeds and everything out. He would just cut it in half, and then he'd put butter, cinnamon, and brown sugar, and like that, and just cook it like that, you know. And then when it was all done, you just get a spoon and eat it, dig it out like that. You know, that was one of the things he did. So I never saw anybody do that but him. But that's what he'd do with the pumpkin. He'd put in. It was really good. Yeah, you just eat it with a spoon out the hole. Yep, so we know about working in a garden. We know about get a little can, take all the beetles off the beans, and then there was picking time. You know, you had to pick the beans and break the beans, and or same thing with the cabbage or collard greens, whatever you had, because we had all that in the garden, string beans and corn and radishes. And yeah, they knew how to garden because that's...
Something you were telling me before Emily came was... about the blooms on the squash.
We used to fry them. Oh. The blossoms.
Squash blossoms?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You take them out and you make a little batter, you know, make a little batter and put that in your hot, you get your grease nice and hot. Oh, they were so good. Have you really?
Good. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, yeah. You don't see too many people know about that.
First time I had them was in Italy. So have them here somewhere?
I think so. I think I just had them because, you know, my family kept a garden too. I think I had them when I was little.
Okay.
And maybe it was like zucchini blossoms.
Aren't they good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, anything fried is pretty good, but yeah, like the squash blossoms.
Yeah, they'd have that hot, you have your grease real good and hot. Mm-hmm. And put in that batter, and they're so crispy when you take them out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like tempura.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, we should probably let you go.
What about fried green tomatoes? Did you ever make those?
I didn't. Well, maybe once or twice, but when I moved down to North Carolina for grad school, definitely had a lot there. My dad's family's from North Carolina, so some of that southern cooking he would.
Oh my! Did you ever fry green tomatoes?
Yeah, my stepfather would make them.
Oh really?
And I've never successfully made them, but I've eaten them at any place that offered them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So good.
Oh yeah. Some guy was telling me at church today. He says he got a garden. I said, "You got tomatoes?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "As soon as you get green tomatoes," he said, "Oh, Miss Sarah, I'll bring you some green tomatoes." They are so good.
Yeah, it's a good way to use up those tomatoes that aren't gonna get red before the frost.
Right. And even if they're a little bit red, they're really good. If they just really start to ripen just a bit, and you slice those and put them in your batter and everything. Oh, my.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do that this year.
Oh, yeah, we have to do that. Oh, you'd love them. You'd love them. There's a movie called Fried Green Tomatoes.
I love that movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it was a movie. I thought, who making a movie with that crazy set? But it was a good movie, wasn't it? It was cute. Yep.
Did you see Hidden Figures about?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you like it?
I did. I really did. Yeah. I went to see Black Panther too.
You did? I saw it this weekend. What did you think of that?
I thought it was good. I need to see it again to really get the essence of the movie. So my Deandra's seen it twice. She'd get ready to go again. You know, it was beautiful. Really
was. There was a lot of visual, all the colors.
costumes. Oh my goodness. It really was. And I said, everybody had their clothes on, because sometimes I get tardy seeing I said, everybody got their clothes on.
It's actually a pretty modest movie.
It was. It really was. And they said it's really doing good at the box office. It's up in the millions. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So.
Yeah, very cool.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll revisit next time. Maybe we can go more chronologically. I know this was scattered, but.
Okay.
We were just chatting and trying to get stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, maybe next time we'll take her to Osage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, and show what this used to be here, because it's not like it used to be, because up on Osage Hill there was houses, a row of houses, you know, and so, because they're not there now, you know, the church is not there either. There was a church up there on Osage. Well, every little community had their own church. Every little, wherever there was a coal mine, there was a little community, there was a church and a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So they had their own grocery stores. And
what you might want to do is come one Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and you could spend a couple hours while the museum's open. Then when it closes, it'd be quiet, and you could have a ceremony.
Yeah, well, that sounds good. Because Mary Jane wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ten to two, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Good talking. Bring back good memories.